thank you for coming today. When I was coming through most of my training, I was taught that agricultural fields are monocultures, and as such, they're less stable and easily perturbed. In the course of my time being involved with precision agriculture since 97, I want to share with you today some reasons why I think that view is not appropriate anymore. And we need to really begin to understand that any given field is the complex agroecosystem. So that brings us to what our sensors can do for us. And I'm going to share with you that this presentation's concepts began nearly 14 years ago. And I wanted to write about this idea in one of the papers, but all the internal reviewers said, no, you don't want to include this. This is silly and ridiculous. In the 12 plus some years since, I want to share with you today, I was correct back then, and I'm going to stand on my ground, and I believe sensors can give us incredible amount of information about the ecology of these wonderful systems. So to help you do that, I'm going to introduce a phrase that's mine, reference spaces, and then I'm going to take you through a couple of data, one data set looked at two different ways, and hopefully along the way we're going to learn. So since the earliest beginning of my introduction to ecology back in my college days or before, and centuries of work kind of bring up this simple little ditty here, and most of my work has been on pest complexes of cotton and row crops, but because of the fact that these pests are really in the way the primary herbivores of our crop, I've been forced to go down line to the trophic levels all the way back to what is beginning to happen with the energy from the sun. So what do I mean by reference spaces? Well, the meaning is derived from the two words put together by themselves. So the word referent means one that refers or is referred to, as well as the thing that a symbol, as a word or sign, stands for. But then when we put the word space with it, we see that space has a diverse collection of meanings, all of which apply with reference spaces. So we can see from the diversity of the word space, reference spaces similarly have diversity. They have characteristics, though, that can be described. And with the help of some of these people down here, we begin to see that we can put them to different uses and work, and we can do so in a rather semantic way. We can implement them in many different ways. They do have some operations that relate to some aspects of mathematics, but I think the key one is that I think they are only additive, that is, division or multiplication operations on them are somewhat restricted. But their beauty is because once you nail down what a reference space is, it is very concise, and you want to strive always to make it be unambiguous. But the place where we still need to do more research is because of this aspect of some elements of semantics, the grammar rules are still not very well defined. These are what I call traditional reference spaces. You may be somewhat surprised to see your word up here that has been around for a very long time, and you may be surprised to think, gee, that's a reference space? Well, I believe actually that it is. And the thing about the key part is that they can reside in different domains, and most of us as scientists are all driven by thinking about the terms in what's maybe called the data or attribute space, but very few of us think about how these things are giving us understanding on a geographical scale. So when you put these two spaces together at the same time and begin to think about how they together can be moved through any one of these other spaces, you get incredible insight about an agricultural system. So I want you to understand that a reference space is more than just a definition or a concept. It's really a philosophical framework to perform research and do work and ultimately solve problems. So, historically, when we give a talk, we try to describe our experiment from a viewpoint of the traditional way. What are the experiment units? What are the treatment structures? But beginning from the viewpoint of reference spaces, using simple operations, you can start to describe your experiment in sort of a shorthand notation. And so this would be like the highest level, and then to add more detail, sinew, bone, and muscle to this skeletal framework, you add your specific details that drive your work. But in the end, we want to try to achieve insight. So with respect to the experiment I'm going to share today, which involves an experiment on the Mississippi State North Farm, geographically, its place on the earth is located on that farm. And since there's only one location, there are 0 degrees of freedom. And if you think about that 0 degrees of freedom, most of us historically would say this experiment has a very narrow inference space. And that's primarily driven, I think, by the viewpoint that agroecosystems are primarily monocultures, and therefore they're simple and not very stable. But I'm going to try to challenge you a little bit with that thought right there. The time horizon is 4 years. Here's the treatment structure imposed on different sizes of experimental units. Irrigation as needed versus other experimental units that had none applied at all. It was simply rain-fed, as Tina mentioned before. There's several papers in this conference on gypsum. So part of the experimental units of another size had gypsum applied to them one time, whereas other experimental units of similar size had no gypsum applied. And then from the viewpoint of the perspective of nitrogen, pelletized poultry litter, commercial inorganic fertilizer, or no fertilizer at all, applied to other experimental units of yet different sizes. So from the perspective of the layout of the experiment with the alleyways between, and here's the individual plots, the 6 rows by 50 feet, most of you, including reviewers of some of the work coming out so far, want to say this experiment is a randomized complete block. But we, being good scientists, see that you do not employ randomization, so therefore you have no replication, therefore your analysis is flawed, and we wish to reject your paper. But from the viewpoint of the geographic spaces, from the viewpoint of the GIS, we see now that the experimental units at the smallest level are 48 of them with 47 degrees of freedom. The machines that applied the fertilizer applied them in strips in groupings of three, which creates another set of experimental units that go across the 48 plots. Here's the other tier with 3 degrees of freedom for the gypsum plots. This is where gypsum was applied. No gypsum here, no gypsum here. And then here's the irrigation where this half of that size of experimental unit was where the irrigation was applied as recommended. And here on the upslope side, by the way, was where irrigation was not applied. So since these gypsum pieces are basically nested in the irrigation experimental units of a larger size, instead of there being 3 degrees of freedom, there are actually 2 because of the nesting. So the design structure of this critter is, 5 minutes already? Oh my. It's really this crazy thing. And because it's such that we want to look at it from the viewpoint of a proximal sensor, which was done with the field before the experiment was even implemented, and we can use zonal statistics and we can make a scatter plot of the variance of the deep ECA reading by each plot as a function of variance of the plot for the shallow EC reading. And we see from this scatter plot that if we would have tried to randomize this study, we would hurt ourselves instead of help ourselves. We would be adding noise instead of improving experimental precision and working to avoid bias. So So the NOVA table looks like this, but the thing is that most of us think, oh goodness, I have right here a three-way interaction. I'm scared of that rascal. I don't know how to interpret it. Well, from the viewpoint of reference spaces, that becomes interpretable, and it actually gives incredible insight. So for me in my work, when I see now seven-way interactions, I become exceedingly excited. So the core of the thing is we can put all these pieces together now. So all that glimmic syntax begins to make sense, because here on the model statement, there's my treatment structure pieces. And here my random space statement, because I'm thinking geographically, the syntax of that statement now has semantic meaning. And then here we see from the GIS piece, we can get the centroids of the plots. So we're bringing in now the spatial structure of the 48 plots with respect to how they lie on the Earth. But what is that thing really saying, and what is the why of those high-order interactions? Some reviewers would say, since I didn't use randomization to create units of replication, I have a poor experimental design. I disagree. Some of it can be sampling error. But I think when I look at the data on the geographic side, I don't think so. I could have bad syntax in this. That's possibly so, but I think I'm close. But I think the real reason is that I'm not dealing with the monoculture, even though it's an experiment at one spot on the Earth. So let's now put our pixels to use. So here's the data 2 years before the experiment began, first year of the experiment, second year, and then 1 year after the end, we see here with the data of imagery, we catch the irrigation split. Here very clearly is the gypsum split. And then with the strips, even the year after, you can see these bright white lines right there. That's the place where none was applied, so the effect of the litter treatments is still continuing. But here's the pixels at the plot level, at 1 meter resolution of the pixels. There's lots of pixels in these plots. So before the study began, first year, something begins to split. Year three of the 4 years, you see the structure beginning to happen. And then the year after experiment stops, they kind of begin to blend into that which is before the experiment began. So what does all that mean? Well, from the viewpoint of reference spaces, I can turn my experiment inside out. I can make some of my dependent variables become my independent variables. And so the other thing measured with this study was the potassium, nitrogen, and phosphorus uptake. How the plant was using some of the nutrients. I can symbolize through color and shape and size, things like the bowl sizes per the plots, and I can turn the data around. So instead of a table from the NOVA with the little letters, A and B and C and whatnot, which I can never interpret, here's the experiment in respect to that one three-way interaction with two-thirds of that interaction now described as a niche space. And we can see that if most of us just think that we're going to solve our problems by goosing nitrogen and completely ignore what's happened in the potassium world, the phosphorus thing, we can see, just like the sailors used to think the world was flat and they would sail off the end of the Earth, so we can likewise shoot ourselves in the foot. So I argue that any experiment involving agricultural system is complex. If we're going to do effective synergy to solve problems, we've got to change our thinking. And I shared with you today one philosophy about how to make that change. And I thank you.